here in Tampa Bay have a thing about beer. There are so many craft breweries, you lose count on how many there are. Are we becoming geeks or not?
Oh, well, I don't think if you become a geek, you're overdoing it. I think becoming a beer geek is a great thing, first off. I don't think we are overdoing it. You know what I mean? People, they're talking about, like, oh, is there a bubble? Are there too many breweries out there right now? But really, I think we're a little over 4,000 breweries in the U.S. And right before Prohibition, we had, I think, 3,900 or something like that, a very similar number to what we have right now. But think of how many more people live in the United States now versus Prohibition. So really, I think that there's plenty of room even to grow from where we're at.
I won't debate that. I couldn't agree with you more. But tell me the difference between a beer drinker and a beer geek.
Oh, that's a good question. So I think a beer geek, we like to, when we drink our beer, we like to really analyze the aroma and the taste and whatnot, just like most beer drinkers. But we're interested in everything about that beer. You know, who made it? Who is the brewer? Who is the brewery? Where are they located at? You know, what were the ingredients that went into beer? Like, what makes this special? We want to know all the information about the beer that we're drinking, not just what it tastes like and what it smells like. I think that's sort of the differentiation, sort of take it all to a whole other level.
Well, also, I think the fact that they do beer tastings now, like we used to just do wine tastings, takes beer to another level.
Absolutely. Yeah, beer tastings are a blast because it's so much fun to talk about beer. Everybody's got a different palate, and they pick up on different little unique parts of a beer. And when you're all sharing the same beer together, somebody might notice, like, oh, I get some vanilla in this stout that you might not have, your palate might not have been as tuned into. So it's a lot of fun. I really enjoy getting together with some friends and sharing beers.
We're talking with Patrick Dawson, the author of The Beer Geek Handbook, and it's a fun book to read. You have a slightly sarcastic sense of humor, don't you?
I do. I'm glad you picked up on that. I don't want people to take the book too seriously, because the beer geek culture, at least on paper, it can appear pretty funny. We like to take beer pretty seriously.
Oh, there's nothing wrong with that. Now, we've seen a real evolution when it comes to beer here in Tampa Bay, and how hard they fought to have beer growlers legalized. It was like life-changing for beer geeks down here.
Absolutely, and it was a worthwhile fight for sure. Growlers are just—they're such a blessing to beer geeks, because before growlers, or when you couldn't use growlers, you're limited to what beer was, as far as beer you could take home and drink, what beer was bottled and distributed. And there's tons of beers that a brewery is not going to go to the trouble to get, you know, design a label and get label approval for and do all the marketing for. They might just be like a little one-run beer that they had an idea for. And that beer will just be served at the brewery or maybe just a few bars or restaurants. So all of a sudden, once you could buy growlers, you have the opportunity to get that beer at the brewery and bring it home. You don't have to necessarily go and deal with the issues of driving and all that logistics. You have all the convenience of home. So yeah, it was well worth that fight.
Absolutely. Now, a beer geek, is not a cheap person. You really look for the best for your taste, don't you?
Yeah, it's an unfortunate thing that it seems like good beer usually costs a little bit more. There's always going to be the, I don't know what it is, $6 or $7 six pack of Bud Light. So your six pack of an IPA, you know, it might end up being $12 or $11. A beer geek's, that's a worthwhile extra $5 for sure, you know, to get that extra flavor. But you really got to love beer, because hey, $5 is $5, I suppose.
How did you become a beer geek?
Well, I started homebrewing in college, and it was really just a way to create a large amount of beer for a small amount of money. there was very little interest in what I was making, I'll be totally honest. But I started noticing when I started making a couple of batches, hey, this tastes pretty good. And you start paying a lot more attention to what you're drinking and what it tastes like when you make it. You know, it's just like cooking at home versus going out. You really zero in on it. And that's what got me interested in it and sort of started me down this this long love affair with beer that I have.
Well, you know, it's funny. I have quite a few friends that do brew their own beer, and I've noticed that they can be very, very critical of other people. So I think they've reached geek status at this point.
Yeah, that usually tends to happen, you know. You really start noticing those flaws, especially when you homebrew, because in homebrew, there's a lot of little things that can go wrong, and you might not notice it if you drink one or two glasses of it, but if you brew a 5-gallon batch and you drink the majority of that 5 gallons, you're going to be pretty tuned into that off flavor by the end of it. So yeah, beer geeks usually tend to have a pretty sensitive palate, it seems.
You also like to travel a lot because that's the greatest way to find some of the great craft beers. Where are some of your favorite places?
Oh, I have to say that my favorites are probably Belgium and Germany. Mm-hmm. You know, those countries, they take beer so seriously.
Mm-hmm.
It's you know, the way that France treats wine, Belgium treats beer. It's a beautiful thing. It really is. You know, you go to the best Belgian restaurants, and they'll provide beer suggestions with your dish. It's incredible. So for someone like myself that just loves beer, to be in a country just surrounded by people that feel the same way, it's just a wonderful, wonderful place to be.
Well, you love beer, but what about the wives here? You've got a section on patience as a virtue. Is that a necessary accessory for a beer geek?
I don't know if I'd call it necessary, but it definitely helps a lot because, you know, just about it seems like every vacation that we go on or anywhere we go, like, I'm always wanting to stop at liquor stores and hunt for some beer that I can't find. So having a spouse that shares your love of beer or at least is willing to tolerate it definitely helps promote marital bliss, let's say.
Absolutely. Do you have a beer cellar like other people have wine cellars?
I do. Ooh. Yeah. Actually, the first book I ever wrote was on aging beer. And a lot of people don't realize that just like there's certain wines that improve with age, there's a very small segment of beers that actually improve with age as well. Now, it's a small segment. Maybe like 2 or 3% of beers made barley wines and beers like that. But they actually will develop and mature very similarly to maybe like a sherry or port. Take on all sorts of different flavors that you don't normally encounter in beers and can just be like a really, really fun investment of your time, I guess, if you're willing to put it in.
Well, I know a lot of people are, and to make sure that everybody really understands what it's like to be a beer geek, we're going to make sure they have a chance to win a copy of your book. Patrick Dawson, the author of The Beer Geek Handbook in Ann Kelly's Kitchen, thank you so much, and anytime you come down to Tampa, let me know. We'll give you the grand tour of the breweries.